I'm wondering if anyone has used either Uber Comfort or Excel. A group of us are going to the Bay State Council of the Blind social gathering next week, and I haven't experienced either of those, and I'm not sure what the difference is.
Excel is usually, I think, either 5 or 6 passengers, maybe five. Comfort, I think, is a larger vehicle, but not necessarily based on how many passengers. That one, someone else is going to have to help me out on what
We have
Comfort does.
four. And one of them is a tall man. So we're thinking comfort would be sufficient.
With Comfort, what I've found is it just asks you your preferences. Like, do you want a cold or hot vehicle? Do you want someone to talk to you or not
Oh.
talk to you? It may still say the numbers of how many passengers. That's what I've seen from Comfort. And just one recommendation with Excel, I've been in situations where, although it says 4 to 6 passengers, the driver has chosen to remove some seats and cannot fit six. If you're counting on more than four, then I would put that in the note to the driver.
I think really you want to do the Excel. It's a little
Okay.
more money,
Yes.
but the vehicle will be larger. In Comfort, you're more likely to get more legroom, more. We use Comfort if we're going to bring extra luggage, even though technically you can now put four passengers in an Uber. There are some drivers who really don't want to do that, and Comfort can be deceivingly small.
I am a member of French Movie Club. Is the movie description only in English or there are other languages? How can I make an audio vote? So they have a lot of movies there, so I can just look English movie and I can translate that directly to French.
We're unable to log in. She's already registered, but every time I put the information in, it doesn't recognize it.
If you're having a problem logging in, you need to contact the mailing
I did.
list. I don't know if they have any films with French audio description. I think most of their films are English audio description.
With Soundscape going away soon, what are other people using for kind of blind walking GPS that they like?
How about Lazarillo? That's one other you could try. I mean, personally, I use Blind Square. I've used it forever, but I think it is a little, the user interface is a little difficult, but that's what I'm using. But I've also used Lazarillo, Lazarillo. I like Blind Square because I can make kind of virtual places and just explore things before I go there.
What is it that you want out of a GPS app? What are you looking for? Are you looking for POI identification, or are you looking for route creation or route guidance, or what are you really looking for?
What I particularly liked about Soundscape is that it did a very good job of, like, when you're walking down the street, but you have a street that is, only on your left. It'll just say walking trail lane on your left, and it comes out of your left speaker, out of your headphones. If it's on the left or the right, it'll say walking trail lane on your left, Walnut Street straight ahead, walking tree lane on your right. And it kind of goes through the speaker, coming out of your left speaker, then both speakers, then right speaker. It was very accurate from a standpoint of being about 10 feet away from a corner pretty much every single time. And then it also let you drop pins. So, like, if you have a sidewalk that's broken, and hasn't been fixed, you can drop a pin to remind you that, and coming up is going to be a broken sidewalk, be careful, or a low-hanging branch. So it let you do some, if you put in your actual destination, it seemed to be very good at pointing you right to the front door of that establishment.
Blind Square doesn't do that. You never know where the street is to the left or the right, but it does. You can definitely drop pins. They're called My Places there.
I think there are some other ones where you can drop waypoints and stuff. Like, there's one called My Way and My Way Light. You can use those to drop markers along the way. There's another one called Ariadne GPS. There's a lot of them out there, and it pays to play with them and look at them. I have a bunch of them on my phone. I think I have about maybe 45 or so. But I remember using Ariadne once, and I was amazed. I was walking down the street, and I had it read addresses, and it was so accurate, even in Manhattan. I was walking down one street and it was going, you know, 354, 352, 350, 348. I'm like, holy mackerel, this is cool. As I was passing the addresses.
On Ariadne, I've had Ariadne for many years. The one thing I've noticed that, you know, maybe when you last checked in Manhattan, it was good. My sense is it really has not been maintained. So there are like little bugs. One thing that I use it for all the time that's nice is you can sort of have some favorite locations and then just simply go into this one favorites page and see how many miles you are from that particular place. You used to be able to load those in remotely and that doesn't work anymore. So now if you want to load in a favorite, you actually have to be at that place. And my sense is it hasn't been maintained.
I have a fairly substantial collection of recorded talks on disk, digital recording, with a device that is beyond repair now, unfortunately. I paid a lot of money for it, too. Does anybody know where I might buy a new or used device that will play DAISY recorded disks or and record disks as well?
There used to be something called a Plex Talk
PTR. That's exactly what I had. Yeah. That's
it was so outrageous. It was like $800, if I remember right.
That's exactly some crazy money.
Yeah, I would do a search on eBay, see if anyone has one willing to sell it to you. If you just want to play DAISY books, I mean, yeah, something like a Victor Vita stream could do it if you just copy the information onto the SD card. I mean, there's still DAISY players for the computer as well. That you could, if you just do a Google search on DAISY player for a PC, and you could play that way as well.
If you use JAWS, I don't know if you use JAWS. I mean, the FS reader.
I do use JAWS, yes.
I mean, the FS reader that's built in, that's
an example of a software DAISY reader, yeah.
That should easily do it.
Oh, okay. So in other words, I just put it into the computer, put the disk into the computer.
And if your computer doesn't have a CD drive, you could buy an external one for like $20 these days.
I do have a CD drive in the computer. Yeah.
I'm not a Bookshare user. The nonprofit organization that runs that or whatever is called Benetech, but they have entered into a research project with Schmidt Futures, which is philanthropy, to figure out how to use AI. What they're doing is using AI to provide automatic alt text for graphics, but I can see in general ways how you could use millions of graphics that you could use to teach an AI system, you know, how to recognize a graphic and write a description of it. And I can see why Bookshare would be interested in that, right? Because lots of books they want to have shared with the community, right? Have graphics in them. I mean, plots and pie charts and bar graphs and line graphs and all kinds of things. Like it would say, this graphic is a bar graph. There are 10 bars. The x-axis says this. The y-axis says this. Oh, yeah. I know the other game changer tech thing I saw recently was that it was the thing that's coming up with Be My Eyes, the virtual volunteer, where you can get incredibly highly detailed descriptions of images from your phone.
You know, for those who are Microsoft Edge browser users, they have a fairly high level of ChatGPT, that artificial intelligence thing, on there. And you can put in a query and then it will generate an answer for you. And of course, it's subject to all of the problems of hallucinations and other misinformation it might provide. But one thing it did do, I was having trouble with grammar checking in Outlook with punctuation and things like that, and too many spaces and having to go through. And I think David has gone through how you can reduce spaces by search and replace. And I typed into the search on this, they call it chat, I believe, on Microsoft Edge. You have to have a new browser in order to access it. But I typed in proofread this document and I copied and pasted a Word document. And then I hit enter and it proofread it and made changes in the entire document. And as far as I could tell, at least in my document, I knew there were like 27 punctuation problems. And then I ran it back through Outlook's, the Word grammar checker, and all of those punctuation problems had been fixed by the chat AI.
I wanted to pass along a chat AI tip from Microsoft Bing Chat. After you read the results that it gives you, there's a link, I think it is, that says more. And if you click on that, in addition to seeing the sources and all of this, there's a button that says copy. And if you click that, it copies the whole result to the clipboard. So it's very efficient. You don't have to go and set a place marker in JAWS or select text and then copy it.
Does anyone really understand what is happening with like the new IRA subscriptions and when like...
The short and simple answer is in the end of 2023, the plans are going to change and your prices are going to go up. There is a retail price, so to speak, and then the price you'll actually pay. And they did produce a PDF that's documented that so far. I think in January of 2024, that's going to be when you need to take another look, because I think more decisions will be made by then as to how much things will actually cost. I don't think they know the final answers yet.
If you were under specific types of plans, like NFB and ACB both have plans that were at a lower rate, they were honoring that through the end of the year, this calendar year. However, I just asked them, because we had some clients who were wanting to get on those lower price ones, but that's not going to be able to be done through the end of the year. It had to be done earlier this year that you had to be signed up. So basically, they're just honoring certain plans for a certain period of time. I mean, it's too late to do this, but I bought many $100s of minute by minute at their old price to have access to that.
Is IRA the only company that does like the TeamViewer remote access into your computer service?
PMIs are not bonded. And I've done enough stuff that I would not even consider Be My Eyes just for that reason. Even the plan that my husband and I are on is going to change next year. I don't know what kind of a decision we're going to make. It may end up that for the first time ever, we have one plan and we share minutes.
What I've done with TeamViewer, for example, is I have a brother who I trust. He's done a really nice job when I need someone to pop in and when it is more confidential information. He and I have, I think, developed a better relationship just because we work together on these topics and he's really learning a lot about access to information. I mean, that would be another option for TeamViewer, is to have obviously someone you completely trust and that you're comfortable.
Also with Be My Eyes, they have, you know, they have volunteers, but they have a whole bunch of specialty groups that you can contact. Like when I've had trouble with my computer screen, you can contact Google and someone will pick up and they can see through your back camera and look at your screen and go through stuff with you. Microsoft offers that service too. And I think even JAWS may be offering that now.
So I'm trying to use Be My Eyes more so that if IRA does get out of my budget, I'm not going to miss it as much. So, but those technical ones, I think the one downside is they're often time limited to business hours, potentially, I don't know, on the East Coast or not. So if you're doing your laundry at 2 a.m. and you want to call Downy Fabric Softener people, which is on there, and I've actually used, there's a bunch within that company, I forget which one owns many of the laundry things, but they have done a nice job reading. I have one part of my washing machine that is less than accessible with other people who use my machine. So they actually will help with that as well. You know, read various buttons or digital screens because it's related to laundry. So I've been trying out, like, how far will they expand beyond, you know, read the name of my pod that I'm throwing in. Oh, and I've used the accessible pharmacy is on there. I've done it for COVID tests, and accessible pharmacy did a really nice job. I mean, IRA does it as well, but I wanted to get some experience with the accessible pharmacy. Yeah. I like to do it too, because I think it's a way to show the various organizations who are on it that it's useful and less risk of losing it. I think that was one of IRA's problems as well, is they would have an agreement with Walgreens, but there was not enough usage of the minutes, so Walgreens didn't renew.
One interesting thing that IRA is doing is that a lot of their plans are going to allow you to basically share with multiple people. So it may be a situation if you have, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 people that would like to use it and you can get a good number of minutes with people sharing it. It's an option, perhaps.
I found a very nice app for AI is called POE, P-O-E. When you get a result, you can share it back to things like your email and stuff like that. It does pretty readable with VoiceOver. It's in the App Store. Oh, you can ask the GPT a question. It's a GPT app.
I heard somewhere there's an open source free GPT that is supposed to run locally on your computer versus on the cloud. I wonder how you would train the thing.
It downloads training material from a server, and I think it talks to a server. It's on your PC, but I don't believe it's totally standalone.
Last week, I had to download an update to my Teams, and then I got a pop-up that I think asked me to agree to a feature that I didn't know was there before. It's just like JAWS Tandem or how Microsoft Accessibility can remote into your computer. You can actually do that in Teams now. In addition to sharing your screen, you can actually allow someone to remote into your computer and take control. I said, okay, let me try it out. I have a person that works with me as my reasonable accommodation. So we did that and it does work. So
if you're an NVDA person, there's NVDA remote, you know. I'm not sure what its limitations are, but I've had people help me using it, you know, doing Windows maintenance tasks and things that I don't know how to do. If you don't go through the server, you can connect peer-to-peer to somebody and do it that way, and that's what we did.
Babin, I have a question. So for the person helping you, of course, they could get in, they could grab your computer and so on. Would that accessible from your end? Could you, as a screen reader user, be the person who grabs somebody else's computer?
That's a very good question that I didn't actually think that far to test it, because I usually work with her to go over stuff, and sometimes she has to look at stuff on my computer. And so we did it that way. I was just curious because I had never seen that feature. So yes, she took control and was able to do stuff on my computer, but I didn't do the other way around to test if I could read stuff on a computer. So I don't know the answer to the question. My suspicion is the answer would be yes, to the extent that Teams can do whatever it is. In other words, if I can do something on my computer and have it be accessible, then it should be on her computer as well.
Do you know if it passes the sound through?
Actually, that's the main reason why I wanted to test it. So
because I think if it passes the sound through, you could at very minimum enable a narrator and someone else's computer and probably do it that way. That probably would work.
So yeah, it did pass. I mean, pass the sound through, because I wanted to test to see. So I did, because in that instance, actually, I wanted her to check something that JAWS was having issues with, and so yes, she was able to see what JAWS was missing and told me, yeah, it's skipping this and that thing. Yes, it does.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions, comments, before we go into that first?
Can anybody use Quick Assist? Could I do a Quick Assist with a friend? Anybody use that?
Anybody could use it to anybody. I mean, now once you join the fact you can't see it, that makes it a little more complicated, but it does work, you know, peer-to-peer.